A reading from Romans chapter 13. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's servant, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Whether we like it or not, we live in a world of laws, lots of laws. Some we like, some we don't. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the sign? St. Paul warns that every person must be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, he said, and those who exist have been instituted by God. Now, I'm not sure how I was assigned this pericope this morning, as ironically, I spent nearly a quarter of a century as a law enforcement officer. The truth is, back then, when it came to dealing with lawbreakers, I felt the authority was mine to exercise. I had the badge. I had the gun. I never thought about our authority coming from God. But that all changed on February 14th, 2005, at approximately 2200 hours, when I received a phone call from my son, a rookie cop near Dallas, Texas. That night, he had been involved in an on-duty shooting and had taken the life of another man who had attacked him and another officer with butcher's knives. In the days following that incident, I wondered what I could tell him. How might I help him put it all in perspective should this incident begin to trouble him? Fortunately, like many of the challenges we face in life, the answer was found right here in the Holy Scriptures, the exact reading we just heard. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. But why did St. Paul write these inspired words? He wasn't a centurion, nor was he a cop. Surely God didn't give him these words just for dumb old me. To answer this question, I suppose we need to step into the world of the first century Christian, a world not all that different than the world we live in today. A world clearly divided between a kingdom of the left and a kingdom of the right. One ruled by the sword and the other ruled by the Spirit of God. The first century followers of Christ faced many challenges which they most likely never anticipated. How does one reconcile his freedom and new life in Christ with the demands placed upon him by the Roman government. The life Paul is describing is a life lived within the mercies of God, where the believer should present himself as a living sacrifice to God. He is asserting the realities of a time when the Christian has been made new in the Spirit through baptism, yet a place where the new man finds himself still physically existing in the midst of the old corrupt and dying world, a world filled with lust, sexual debauchery, drunkenness, and all of the sins we see on the streets of our own city today. This letter was penned about 55 years AD, when the Roman government was as corrupt as, might I say, Washington, D.C. is today. I hope the government doesn't request this transcript. It was a time when to live in faith meant to live in fear, even as you were no longer part of the mess. The challenge of living with one foot in the new world, God's world, and one foot stuck in the mess surrounding you, or in some cases, one foot pulling you back into the scum, was a challenge all converts had to confront, just as you and I must confront those same challenges in this hate-filled and corrupt world. We live in a world filled with murder, persecution, terrorism, adultery, homosexuality, drunkenness, and gossip. Unfortunately, even inside the kingdom of the right. Today, like then, it is a delicate walk through the minefields of what we like to do and what we should do. St. Paul understood this dilemma. He understood it well. Listen to what he wrote, and I paraphrase. "I do not understand my own actions," he said, "for I do not do what I want, but I do everything I hate. And it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in the flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." Romans chapter 7. The first century was a dilemma. What was the new Israel to do? What is the new Jerusalem today to do? How are we to coexist in this intolerant, anti-Christian world, a place where sound doctrine is either forbidden or been chicken souped into a pursuit of one's purpose in life? When writing about the two kingdoms, Martin Luther wrote this: "God has ordained the two kingdoms, the spiritual, which by the Holy Spirit under Christ rules Christians and pious people, and the secular, which restrains the unchristian and the wicked so that they are obligated to keep the peace. However, the laws of worldly government extend no further than to life and property. But for the soul, God will let no one rule but himself. Therefore, where temporal powers presume to prescribe laws for the soul, it encroaches upon God's government and only misleads and destroys. We desire to make this clear," Luther said, "so that everyone can grasp it, and that the princes and the bishops, or might I say, the mayors and the liberal judges, may see what fools they are when they seek to coerce the people with their laws and commandments into believing one thing or another." Now back to St. Paul, who we know wrote many letters to the churches in his time, helping her with the challenges she encountered encouraging her to hold firm to her faith, even in the face of persecution. This letter, Romans, was written to instruct the church to defend our core teachings, our core mission, justification through God's righteousness in His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Dear friends, it's possible that you might go through life without ever encountering a cop, even though you all drive five over. You may even go through life without a single encounter with a federal agent, even though you are extremely creative with your tax papers. But if not, my advice is to show your hands, tell the truth, know that God has ordained their authority, know that any penalty or punishment will only be temporary, and it will not affect your salvation one iota. You may also go through life, some of you, keeping all of the laws of Moses, as well as the ones that God has written on your heart. And if you do, be sure to let us know so we can contact the Vatican and fast track your beatification. But if you are a sinner like me, chances are you'll need help, as I too desire to do what is right, but lack the ability to do it. What you will need, whether you have figured out how to live successfully in the kingdom of the left, or if you are committed to a life in the kingdom of the right, is forgiveness. What you will need is the righteousness of Christ won for you, because He did have the ability, and He willingly went to the cross, where He shed His own precious blood to make the complete payment due to a just God for the sins of both kingdoms. Yes, the Christ came to fulfill the entirement of the law. He said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly, I say to you, until the earth passes away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." Let me close with the words St. Paul wrote to the sinners in Galatia. Maybe one of my favorite verses. "When the fullness of time had come," Paul says, "God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because we are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So we are no longer a slave, but a son. And because you are a son, you are an heir through God. So go in peace this morning as you live in both kingdoms, knowing that the righteousness of Christ will be counted as your righteousness, as you too can cry, 'Abba, Father,' in Jesus' name. Amen."